Some viewers may find the following video disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised.
It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Dallas, Texas. And it's 7 p.m. in New York City. Hello, everybody. Mad Bug DeCipio once again for What's the Buzz? America's Best Podcast. Joined as I am, God help me. Oh, God, it's the middle of the week. And she's all still here.
When really?
They call this hump day for a reason, folks. I've got to get over this hump. Amelia. A Pitbull Chapman. How are you, Amelia?
I'm doing better now.
You're doing better. Am I just getting started? I kid you every week. So you had a busy day today, I understand.
Yep. I'm just getting over a real bad migraine headache, let's just say.
Yeah. Well, you see, here's the thing. Whenever you're dealing with certain, you know, bureaucracies,
government agencies.
Yeah, it's always fun dealing with these people. Mm-hmm. Always fun. Let me introduce our partners, our tag team partners in crime, Daddy Mac Dubs, Big Mac Stuff Daddy along. Dubs for the record podcast is with us, and he's back, folks. He's back. I'm out from the south. AJ, I'm with you. There's AJ with you, folks, from For the Record Podcast. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Wow, they both answered. Holy shit. I'm going to go into a freaking shock tonight. Holy crap. They both answered. Even Dubs even spoke up. Holy crap.
Now, we're often we hear him speak.
Wow. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'll tell you what, folks.
Hey, look, AJ, don't BS the BS here, brother.
Listen to him. Don't bullshit a bullshitter, right? He's going, don't bullshit a bullshitter. Trust me, baby, I was born with bullshit. That's why I'm good at what I do.
That's over 60 plus years of bullshit.
Hey, you're absolutely right. Learn from the best, too, trust me. Tonight, very special show, Peter Sutcliffe, The Strange Case of the Yorkshire Ripper. We've been, we're concluding here this week, our first series, if you've been watching, our first series of serial killers. We did, of course, the Zodiac on Monday. Last night, of course, we did the case of John Wayne Gacy, a really disturbing guy. And tonight, probably the most disturbing so far. Until we get the next week, then we're going to really blow your mind. But Peter Sutcliffe, he did not fit the mold of the quintessential serial killer. He didn't really fit the mold until his first taste of blood. And then he did something nobody expected. He changed his MO. Very, very unique. Serial killers, I think we've learned this in the last couple nights. Serial killers have their own kind of like their own language, their own way of doing things. And they like the status quo. They like their little niche. Peter Sutcliffe was different. He went outside the box. He went outside his own box, as a matter of fact, and killed randomly from time to time. But he had this particular hate for prostitutes and sex workers.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that. He's not the first guy that we've come across who had a disdain for sex workers. We've found that to be true in a lot of cases when we talk about, you know, serial killers, people who kill, you know, indiscriminately. A lot of times the sex worker is like right at the top of the list.
Right.
Sex workers, homeless people, runaways, people with no families, for lack of a better word, you know, throwaway people. And I hate that term. Yeah. I really don't like that term. But throwaway people, serial killers love to target those people. The strange case of Peter Sutcliffe. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Peter Sutcliffe. First of all, before I do, why don't we get Amelia? I'm going to bring up on the big camera, Amelia. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell everybody about Peter?
Well, he came from a big family. I mean, his mom, you know, had lots of kids around.
He did.
Of course. And so he really, you know, had his siblings to play with. But his, again, his family, his dad was a drunk, of course, and he made his, and the dad, when he was drunk here, he had his little moments, made the mom put her little nighty, as we say.
Doesn't that seem, Amelia, to be like the recurring theme here? Yeah.
The drug addict dad.
Yeah, the dismayed mom, mm-hmm. the wandering dad, the alcoholic dad.
Yeah.
The kid, there's always the one kid that's a loner.
Yes.
You know? Even when the kid's an only child, well, yeah, you would expect him to be a loner.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But then when you're talking about the case of John Wayne Gacy, who was an only child.
Correct.
You know, you might expect him to either go. See, with somebody like Gacy that we discovered last night, a guy like that could go one way or the other.
Correct.
And he really did, because he went from a serial killer to the White House.
Correct. You would not expect
that. How does that happen? He had to have some incredible intellect at some, you know, somewhere inside there.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, he was a degenerate psychopath.
Yes.
But psychopaths are really, really good at fitting in.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, they know how to manipulate the system and manipulate the people.
Absolutely. That's why I believe that's why politicians are so successful.
Absolutely.
I believe absolutely every politician is a psychopath.
Yes.
That's my belief. AJ, I'll bring you up onto the big camera tonight. Let's get your two cents on this. What do you think of this guy, Peter Sutcliffe? But I know you researched him.
Mm-hmm.
Did some homework on the guy. What did you find out about him that was the one thing? Let me ask you like this, AJ. The one thing that you were surprised maybe to find out.
The fact that, and we touched on it a little bit ago, that he changed his MO. When I was in school, I did, you know, a few classes on forensics, and you don't see a serial killer or any type of person like that that would change their MO.
And, right.
And mm-hmm. so it goes beyond that, though. If you notice, he didn't use one weapon either.
Oh.
He used a sock with a brick or something in there. He used a knife. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that's very odd is usually, even if he changed everything that he was doing. He didn't just, he changed his MO, he changed the weapons and everything. And
yeah.
For them to question, go ahead.
No, I was going to say and I want to bring people to this point. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was somewhere. I want to get the exact date here because there was a specific date that changed everything for Peter Sutcliffe, and I think it was somewhere around 1976 or 77 is when he killed a woman that was not a sex worker.
Correct.
And I believe her name it might have been, hold on, give me just a second, folks. I believe her name might have been Jane McDonald. I think she was like maybe 16 or 17 at the time. Jane McDonald was, not only was she the only non-adult, she was a teenager, but she was the only one that wasn't a sex worker. Why do you think, AJ, that he targeted not only a non-sex worker, but a minor on top of that?
So
put yourself in his head.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that, because whether you want to admit it or not, the guy was smart. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, and absolutely, you bet.
And you got to be a different kind of smart to really pull something like that off. The fact that he changed his MO, and I think that was the main reason he did it, because if it were me, I'm not going to want the police to catch on, so I'm going to change everything to be able to keep doing what I'm doing. If I have to change my MO, if I have to use different weapons, I don't want to get caught. And if I'm going to keep doing what I enjoy doing, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. And sure. I'm going to make it as creative as possible so I can elude the police and not let them catch on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, Mac. I'm going to bring you up here. One of the things that I talked about last night, and I'm sure you remember, I talked about the Happy Face Killer. And one of the things that I talked about particularly was the Happy Face Killer was a truck driver, right? Well, what's the one thing that he has in common with Peter Sutcliffe?
You got me stumped on that one.
For me, Mac.
He was also, I can answer that. He was also a truck driver as well.
Yeah.
He was also a truck driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I basically gave you the answer there, bro.
Yeah.
I gave you the answer. He's a truck driver.
Yeah.
Neil, take that for me, please.
Yeah. He was also a truck driver as well. And of course, for him, he would use different license plates.
Yeah.
You know, as he was a truck driver. And of course, that's what got him pretty much arrested or, you know, stopped by the police, was using illegal license plates, as well as he was driving throughout the country. And the police questioned him about, of course, why were you using illegal license plates? But then he also was questioned about these murders. And he kind of admitted to it at first, but then he's like kind of backed up and says, wait a minute, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And then they started questioning a little bit more. And then he finally did admit to them.
Yeah.
And then it got to where they started looking at the bodies and looking, questioning him a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. And then he admitted that he did it because God spoke to him and told him he had to do this.
We talked about that last night too, Amelia, and you guys. We talked about the God thing. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, the God complex comes in. This guy feels like he's getting, well, Charles Manson too.
Yeah.
That God was, you know, speaking to him to create a race war, you know? Peter Sutcliffe felt like he had a pipeline to God. You got to kill these prostitutes. You know, they're the scourge of the earth. You have to get rid of them.
You know what? You know what, Mad Dog? The one thing,
well, they said he was schizophrenic.
Well, he clearly was. Absolutely, Mac. For sure he was. Let's talk about that.
Well, they said earlier
about his schizophrenia. Go for it.
They said earlier in his childhood he developed a schizophrenic. I didn't read too much on it, but I did see where it said in a short article where he developed a schizophrenic, and he spent many years in the psychiatric hospital.
Well, he spent years in and out of psychiatric hospitals for sure. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that the police actually caught him. Not once, but twice.
But they
and
said
let him go. Not once, but and twice.
They said that he spent 30 years.
Well, wait a minute. What? How about Monday? Wait a minute. Monday night, we talked about the Zodiac. The police caught him. They caught him and let him go.
Yeah.
They had him in their hands. Mm-hmm. And they let him go.
Because of the alibi.
Do that.
The one thing I noticed is
how
that the police
do that's question, bad police work, bro.
The police question
like Vince Russo now. Yo, bro, it's bad police work, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They questioned him 9 times over the span of all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nine times. You're hearing this.
Yeah.
He's not lying, folks. Nine times.
In the span of 5 days.
They let him go. Yeah. Here's what happened. I want you guys to listen to this one. Because this is where Peter Sutcliffe, he flipped the switch on everybody here. It's kind of like you're talking about going outside the box. Well, bro, he went outside the box, bro. Unlike his previous victims, Jane McDonald, listen to this one. Jane McDonald did not engage in sex work. This change, hear me out, folks. This change in victim profile resulted in a national press scurrying, and soon the police and media were using the name the Yorkshire Ripper to describe Peter Sutcliffe as this killer. Now, it wasn't known till after he was caught and apprehended, and he finally told his story. But you're talking about a guy who, for the better part, not making this up, for the better part of 33 years, got away with killing. And the cops had him twice. Yeah. They had him twice. And they let him go.
On illegal tags.
Get this. I've got a question for you, Mad
all
Dog.
The things, all right? For bad tags on his truck.
On his truck.
Mm-hmm. He to go. Do you guys, let me see if you guys know your history, right? Do you guys know how they finally caught Al Capone? The most notorious mobster in history. You know how they finally caught him?
For would some reason, like I keep thinking Whitey Bulger ratted him out, didn't he?
No, Bulger came way after. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about Bulger because I got a show coming up on Whitey Bulger and the Mafia. You know how they caught Al Capone? You're going to laugh. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Tax evasion.
Oh.
They didn't get him on the murders.
Mm.
They got him for not paying his taxes. Are you kidding me? You can't, folks.
My goodness.
Listen to me. You can't make this shit up. You just can't.
No,
I'm telling you, you can't. Here's what we know. After he was captured and put behind bars, Sutcliffe began using his mother's maiden name and going by the name Peter William Coonan.
Mm-hmm.
In 1984, diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia saw Sutcliffe removed from prison and he was sent to Broadmoor Psychiatric Hospital. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what Mac and AJ were talking about before, about when Sutcliffe went into the mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Broadmoor. And by the way, it's still there today. While in custody, Sutcliffe applied for the right to parole. He was, of course, denied parole. In 2010, a ruling came out that he would never be released from prison based on two things. He was in imminent danger to society, and he was a danger to himself. He was declared mentally incompetent to stand trial. He would never, ever be able to leave the walls of Broadmoor. That's where he died in 2020. It's hard to believe that we're talking about a guy who only died like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Wasn't he born in 1946?
Indeed, yes, sir. He sure was. But we're talking about a guy, Mac, that perpetrated his first murder in 1964.
Yes.
Here you go. Check this one out. You're going to love this. By the way, this is real. In England, you're going to think I'm making this up. Please, if you think I'm playing with you, Google this. In England, to this very day, they still have legal and illegal grave diggers. Now, let me tell you what the difference is. Legal grave diggers work for the cemetery. Illegal grave diggers work for hospitals. Mm-hmm. Hospitals will pay a person. And now, this sounds bizarre. Listen to me, because I'm going to blow your mind over here, right? Ready for this? Mm-hmm. Hospitals in England will pay bums, basically. Mm-hmm. They'll give them a shovel and a flashlight. And they'll say, we need three bodies for medical research. And you know what? They'll go, they'll dig up the body, they'll put it in their car, and they'll drive it to the hospital. Mm. They do that, and that's how they make money. Guess what? Peter Sutcliffe was one of those guys. In 1964, he got a job as a grave digger, which led to a part-time job. You're going to love this one, fellas. He worked in the morgue. Great place for a guy like Sutcliffe.
Oh, yeah.
He bragged to his friends about robbing bodies at the morgue. And that's what he did. I just told you. All right. In 1976, this is what I was talking about, Mac. In 76, he got a job as a truck driver. He became a hired and trusted employee and remained in that position during the entirety of his killing spree until he was caught. When he was finally caught, he sat down and he gave the police a very long, sordid, twisted story. They were there for 3 days taking his story. It's the longest confession in British history. He exclusively sought out women, usually sex workers, in the Yorkshire and Manchester area. Sutcliffe often battered his victims with a hammer, as well as stabbing them and mutilating them with a knife or a sharpened screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
The bulk of his crimes occurred between 1975 and 1980. What happened, Amelia, around 1975 and 1980, special in the life of Mr. Peter Sutcliffe?
That's when he was the truck driver, and of course, that's when he was doing all his murders with all the prostitutes. And
that's exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something else happened in that time, folks. You ready for this one? He met a girl.
Yeah, got married.
He met a woman named Sonia. Fell in love with Sonia. He got married to Sonia. That was wife number two.
Yeah.
Amelia, tell everybody what happened to wife number one.
Well, I know that they got divorced during the time that they found out that he...
And she ran like a motherfucker.
She said, bye, I'm out of here. I want the divorce right now. I want the house.
My ass is out of here.
Yeah. And, well, wife number two did kind of have a little bit of love for him because she did help pay for the funeral. She
paid for his funeral. Mm-hmm. So she paid for the funeral.
She did love him, you know, even though he did what he did. She did love him.
I'm going to give AJ and Dubs. Actually, I'm going to give Dubs. Mac, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. Because this is so easy, you didn't even have to study for this one. What got Peter Sutcliffe caught?
What happened to him?
I don't know. Why don't you answer that question, AJ?
All right. So, based on the research, I know that when he was arrested, he was actually with a 24-year-old prostitute. And I'm almost for certain it was because of they said it was false numbers on the tag or on the license plate there. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. That's how he got caught.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Max said his Wi-Fi went out.
All right, tell him he's got the rest of the night off. He's cool.
Okay.
All right. No problem. We got it without you. We're good.
Yeah.
So, Neil, I want to bring you back in here. Mm-hmm. Talk to everybody about the psychology of the serial killer.
No, basically, it's whenever you're like doctor, we had a doctor, like you said, back a couple shows ago on the show, how he broke down the serial killer's mind. Basically, it's what they are going through at the time, or what they're feeling, or what their sexual mind is at the time, or how they get off on the kill. Basically, it's how
that's it right there. Mm-hmm. That pretty well capsulizes the mindset of the serial killer. Mm-hmm. Everything with the serial killer invariably goes back to gratification.
Yes.
Both physical gratification, sexual gratification, emotional gratification, a feeling of, and I like the way Dr. Tobiah put this.
Yes.
A feeling of accomplishment.
Right.
A feeling of accomplishment, like they've done something important.
Yes.
To you and I, to you, me, and AJ, and Dubs, to us, that's sick and twisted.
It is very sick and twisted.
But in their mindset, to them, you know, they feel like they accomplished. Look at Jeffrey Dahmer. Probably the sickest of all time.
Oh, yes.
Jeffrey Dahmer made Gacy look like a Boy Scout. You know?
Or like they feel like they help society get rid of prostitutes. Yeah. That's what their mind game thought.
Well, what was Jeffrey Dahmer's claim to fame? What was his claim to fame? I'm asking you.
He's thinking that getting rid of gay people, gay men.
And he ate them.
He ate them too, and that was disgusting.
He ate them. He was a cannibal.
That was horrible. And what they found in the refrigerator, I don't want to get into that right now.
Jeffrey Dahmer's claim to fame, his fulfillment.
Yeah.
His satisfaction came
from eating them
because he felt one with them.
Yeah, he felt that they were part of them, whoever he was with.
That's a special kind of sick.
That's a very kind of sick.
That's
like
a
Hannibal Lecter
kind of twisted.
Mm-hmm.
AJ,
yes.
talk to me about Peter Sutcliffe, because evidently you've done some extensive research there, buddy.
He just... You know, there's the old saying, you give the devil his due. And
you better be careful how you say
it. Well, oh, boy.
I know what you mean, though, AJ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy was intelligent. Now, I'm not saying what he did was justified or it was right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, his intelligence was completely off the chart. When you're able to completely change, and that's really what it came down to for him. He was very creative in how he did it. But to get caught over something about false plates,
and with the prostitute,
but with the prostitute in the car. Now, these killings happened when he was married. When I did my research, it said he was married for a total of 20 years.
Yes. Yeah. And that's very remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
and he was married twice.
Yeah.
And here's the amazing thing. And it's hard to even comprehend this, but both of his wives adored him.
They did, very much so.
They adored him.
Mm-hmm. It came back to the charm, the charisma.
Honey.
And we talked about that.
Folks, I haven't seen my wife all day. Hi, sweetie. Hey, we're doing Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Killer.
Hi, Anita.
You're on the show? Okay.
Hi, Anita.
My wife just came home, folks, coming into the studio. Amelia, say hi, babe. Hi, Amelia. She said hi, Amelia.
Oh, and Jeff says hi, too.
Oh, Jeff says hi, babe. Say hi, Jeff. All right, cool. Yeah. All right, so AJ, I'm sorry I jumped in on your shit here.
No, you're good. The thing
I hardly ever interrupt people, by the way, so AJ.
No, you're good. What I found interesting was and we talked about this last night, the charisma, the charm that he had.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Remember we talked about that with Dr. Tobiah?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The charm. AJ, I want to
fill you in, AJ, because you're right on the same, you're right in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. We had Dr. Anthony Tobiah here. He's a clinical psychiatrist and psychologist. Really brilliant doctor that we had here. Talking about the mindset. Oh, where did he go?
Uh-oh. Oh, there he is. His light thing.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I meant to unmute my mic because there was traffic.
Oh, what'd you do? Unplug your computer?
No, I went to go unmute the mic because there was traffic and I didn't want it to interfere with the radio
fine. Oh no, that's fine. But Dr. Tobiah gave us an interesting insight, and it's right where you were talking about. You know, they have this charisma, this shining personality that they're able to turn it on and off. It's remarkable. Charles Manson did it. Jeffrey Dahmer did it. Jim Jones. Amy Carlson, even the Zodiac did it. You know, even the Zodiac showed a little humanity.
Yes.
It's which is scary to think about, but he did.
John Wayne Gacy even had the charisma. And there's the thing, like, people think that it's all about looks and this and that. You know, look at John Wayne Gacy. I mean, even if I was a woman, I don't think he's a good looking guy.
He's not. So, from a woman's standpoint, no.
You know what I mean? Nah. And that's another misconception. We talked about this a little bit last night on a different matter, but
yeah,
the misconception of charisma and charm, everybody thinks that goes with the looks. And it's like, you don't need the looks to have the charisma and the charm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Yorkshire Ripper, they called him the Ripper. In some ways, in fact, in a lot of very similar ways, Peter William Sutcliffe, also known as Peter William Noonan, Coonan, Peter William Coonan. It was very strange, though. He identified with his mother. Again, there's that mother thing.
The mother figure thing, yes.
We talked about it with Gacy. We talked about it with Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. We talked about it with Charles Manson. Even, look, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, Amelia. Mm-hmm. Would you consider Hitler a serial killer?
Yes, I would.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes.
He was the most egregious serial killer of all time. He killed 6 million people.
Yes.
I don't care how you slice it or dice it, that's a serial killer.
It is, because all those people.
Call it what you want to call it, folks.
Exactly.
There's no excuse for people like Hitler. Yeah. Although Hitler, again, even Hitler showed humanity to his children, his grandchildren, his girlfriend who became his wife, Eva Braun.
Yes.
All right. Even a sick fuck like that showed humanity, but only to the people that were important to them.
Correct.
Remember, again, AJ, we're talking about people. It's all about their gratification, what's important to them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, you talk about Hitler. He ran a whole country. We're talking Germany, and during that time frame, that whole country flourished.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and he wasn't thinking about anybody else other than what he wanted.
That's my point. That's exactly the point. That's why when I asked Amelia that question, you know, is Hitler a serial killer? Absolutely, he is.
Yeah.
Amelia, what was the one thing? Mm-hmm. In this whole strange sort of tale of Peter Sutcliffe, the one takeaway for you that came as maybe a surprise or something you didn't expect to hear?
some of the victims were not prostitutes. And also, too, what surprised me is that he never had kids with any of the women as well. No. He was not a father, which in a way it was a great thing that he was not a father. No,
and it's funny because he almost, and what I'm reading here is very interesting, because he almost preferred to kill them than rape them.
Right, exactly. He didn't.
He was a strange guy in that respect, because he didn't really, did he rape yet? Yeah, he sure did. There's no denying that. But not the way you think, not with the frequency you think.
No.
There were four confirmed rapes.
With a screwdriver, right? He would use a screwdriver. Yeah,
he used the handle of a screwdriver to rape women.
The way,
and then he would like rip them out with it. It was what they called him, the Ripper.
Yes.
But the one thing that the takeaway that I want to hear your thoughts on, the one takeaway that maybe surprised you, or maybe you didn't expect to hear it. What was the one thing about? And he's a strange character to dissect,
right?
And for me, and I'm, pretty good at pulling people apart, but I look at Peter Sutcliffe and I go, well, where's his head at?
Yeah.
And I think that's the answer.
Right. And
the
one thing that surprised me is that he used three different things to kill the women, and he didn't stay with one particular thing. He used
That's, can I tell you something?
Yes.
Thank you for saying that, because that surprised me. Yeah. It surprised me that he had various modes of torture and used them all equally.
Correct.
It was a great surprise to me to find that he used a hammer.
Correct. That was weird to me, and because he could have used a knife.
Because he was clearly bigger than them all. He could clearly overpower them.
Exactly.
By choking them. Why would you need a hammer?
Yeah.
The hammer was the one thing that really surprised me. The other thing that surprised me was that he used to take, and you've seen this in movies,
yes,
but he used to take a sock, an old sock.
Right, just like AJ said.
Put rocks in it. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You have a pretty big fist.
Yeah.
You could punch a woman in the mouth and knock her the fuck out.
Exactly.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt. About that.
No, sock, I want you to go for
the
it.
Fact that the fact that he went to, I don't know if it was a friend's van or what, and told that person drive, and then admitted to what he did. He got out of the car, hit the woman over the head with the sock to the point where the whatever was in it fell out of the sock. Why didn't that person that he told go and report it?
What? Well, here's the thing. I was just about to read that for you. Here you go. The first known attack occurred in 1969. The first one reported, by the way. Mm-hmm. He used a sock with stones in it to strike a woman. She survived. Mm-hmm. She survived, but she refused to press charges. Several years passed before he would strike again. Now, what do you think happened? Did he get scared?
Possibly.
I would say yes.
I say no.
Really?
I'll tell you why. I don't think he got scared. I think the reason that years passed is that between 1969 and October of 1975, he was driving a truck and he was committing murders on the road.
Oh, that's right.
Go report it until after. So, yeah. But we're talking about, it says several years have passed. When you say several to me, I'm thinking five or six.
Right.
That more than covers the time.
And they have us.
Exactly, Neil. That more than covers the time period that he was driving a truck. Absolutely. And it would fit in. Mm-hmm. Not only would it fit into the time frame, but it would also tie into right around when he gets married,
right,
when he meets his girlfriend, he gets divorced from his first wife. The only thing I never found out here was whether wife number one and wife number two knew each other.
Yeah, that never came up when I was doing the research either.
You know what I mean, AJ? Sometimes the ex-wives know each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it depends on how spiteful wife number one wants to be to go out there. And I've seen that in numerous relationships where something happens, there's a huge fallout, and then they want to get revenge. But I want to point out that the woman that he struck, but didn't kill with the sock there.
Yeah.
She didn't, like you said earlier, she didn't report it.
No.
Why didn't she report it? And I'll tell you why I think. In my opinion, it comes back to charisma. Charisma and charm.
He would, if you look at a picture of Peter Sutcliffe, and by the way, there are very, very few pictures of this guy. There's not a lot of pictures of him. But he's a good-looking guy. Again,
yeah, he's
a handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, remind you of like Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
But Ted Bundy did the same sick, twisted shit that this guy did. Let's talk about his wife, Sonia. Sutcliffe met Sonia Smyrna, whose parents were refugees from Poland and Ukraine in 1966. So he met her early, right? Mm-hmm. The two got married. Now, remember, they met in 66, right?
Right.
But they didn't get married till 74.
Yep.
Some people say as late as 76 were some of the dates that I read. They said between 74 and 76. I'm going to go with 74 as the official date of marriage, okay?
She's still alive, by the way.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna stick with that date.
Yeah,
Here's the thing. Sonia offered her support during Sutcliffe's 1981 trial and initially visited him while he was in custody. They divorced in 1994. Her visits reportedly stopped after she remarried in 1997.
Correct.
This, here's the remarkable thing, that this is the one thing that took me by surprise, okay? The one thing that took me by surprise is that despite the fact that they were divorced and she was remarried, she remained a close and advocate
for him.
Adamant, that's the word I'm out of brain fart, folks.
Yeah.
A close and adamant, staunch supporter
of
Peter Sutcliffe. And to the point where, even despite their divorce, even because of their divorce, Sutcliffe named her his next of kin.
Correct.
And it's reported that she no longer lives in the house that he and her bought together. But there's no record of that house ever being sold. So my belief was that she stayed in the house with her new husband. Mm-hmm. Now, upon his death at the age of 74, he died November 13th, 2020, at the University Hospital of North Durham in England. The hospital was near the prison, you know, where the Broadmoor Psychiatric, where he'd been serving out his sentence. At the end of October, Sutcliffe had been treated for a suspected heart attack. But following his hospital stay, he reportedly tested positive for COVID.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. His ex-wife, Sonia, is believed to have planned his funeral, and some people say she may even have paid for it.
Yes.
Amelia, what have you learned about that? Because that came to me as kind of a, that was my takeaway that surprised me.
Correct. That she did, that's what I found out too when I did the research, that she did, she was his next of kin, and she did pay for it. That's what the research said, that she did pay for his funeral. And to me, the reason I believe that he named her the next of kin is because she kept in touch with him and visited him, because I think she still loved him no matter what happened, even though she was remarried. And she kept in touch with a little part of her still loved him, even though he did what he did. She's always going to love him, I think. That's my feeling toward it.
Here's something that a lot of people don't know. I found this out as well. Do you know that her parents actually helped pay for his defense?
Wow.
They helped pay for his defense. But then when the magistrate, or we call here a judge, in English, they, you know, they're called magistrates.
Right.
But judges, basically, is what they are.
Yeah. When they,
when the judge said, you know, you're incompetent to stand trial. And then he, you know, he went away to the Broadmoor psychiatric facility. The whole need for a defense went out the window. He never got to have a trial because he was deemed unfit. Now, let's talk about the legal ramifications of that. AJ, good, bad, or indifferent that he didn't have a trial? Was he robbed of a trial, or did he not deserve one? What are your thoughts, my friend?
You know, I don't think he deserved one. You know, I mean,
It's an honest answer. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, his wife divorced him, and his wife got a divorce for the reason of, something to do with his behavior,
irreconcilable differences.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though the marriage didn't work out, the fact that she remained faithful, loyal, I guess, is what I'm looking for. You know, he didn't deserve one based on everything that he did. You know,
yeah.
I mean, however, you look at today's world and you see all the people that are in jail. One could argue that, you know, he may have deserved one. Me personally, I don't think so. That's just my thoughts. I mean,
your thoughts, Amelia.
Well, coming from being a victim, from the victim's family, I think he should have deserved one. So that way, the victim's family would have been able to speak up. For the victim,
my thoughts are I'm going to play the fence here. I'm kind of with AJ to some degree, but then I understand your point, Amelia. Here's where I come down on this, and follow my logic.
Right.
While personally, I think he was a scumbag and a dirtbag and didn't deserve a trial. He should have went, you know, straight to jail. Do not collect $200 to not pass go, right? He should have went straight to jail. But the other side of me says, Angelo, you have to be fair. You got to give the man his due date in court. And by doing that, by giving him his date in court, you're also giving his victims their day in court. You're also giving his victims closure.
Exactly.
And you know how I said the other night, good, bad, or indifferent, the most important thing is closure. I said it Monday with the Zodiac. I said it last night with Gacy. I'll say it again tonight as I close out. Oh, no, we're not closing out yet. I'm over here ready to close the show. We got plenty.
But 10 minutes yet.
Yeah, right?
It's hard from both ends, too, because you want to make sure he does pay his dues, go ahead and go to jail, but then the victims also need to be heard as well. It's hard to...
You want to be... See, here's... You know how I... Remember when I had Joe Cohn on the show?
Yes.
Okay. Free speech, you know, and First Amendment rights advocate, right?
Right, but some people don't deserve it.
By the way, he's running for Congress here.
Oh, fantastic.
The other thing that I also support the idea of everybody gets to have their say, which is in my opinion, it's critical. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's critical. But on the other hand, you have to think to yourself, I'm wasting taxpayers' dollars. Mm-hmm. The family has to relive all this all over again.
That was hard part.
Talking about a guy that just died. Now listen to me here. O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. O.J. just died, right?
Yes.
When they had that trial lasted 8 months.
Yes.
In California. Mm-hmm. That trial cost the state of California. You're going to shit when I tell you. $700 million.
What?
I'm not lying.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
It cost the people of California $700 million, and the guy got off, okay? He was found not guilty. Okay.
Well, my dog, there is another reason that I think is a great idea that he didn't stand trial. And that's because the family, and here's, run with me for a minute.
Go ahead.
If the victims of the family or the family, you know, they could easily, in that courtroom, if they wanted to, they could have went and did something or tried something in that room. And then it's just making more turmoil for their family because now they're going to spend however many X years or months in jail or prison because of their attempted murder or whatever. And that's why I think that what happened to him and him being sent off with no trial was best on both parties. Yeah, it sucks that the family didn't get their closure, but at the same time, it was the safest route.
Speaking of closure, I got to get some things done before we close out the show tonight, folks. Here's a word from Bruce. For expert body work and collision repair, there's only one place in Clementon, New Jersey. It's Bruce's Collision Center at 114 Whitehorse Pike in Clementon, New Jersey. Call Bruce at 856-783-1475. Tell them the Mad Dog sent you from WWTF Radio, global and around the world. Do you have sweaty balls or volleyball netty balls? It's time to make them ready balls. The Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0 will do the job and clean your knob with its patented no-nick head, so your head will function as desired. Enter promo code WrestlingFuture for a generous 20% discount. That's enter WrestlingFuture for a 20% discount. Manscaped.com and Wrestling with the Future, going balls to the walls with Manscaped.com and the Lawnmower 3.0, your balls will thank you. And so will we.
You're back with America's Best Podcast. What's the Buzz? I'm Mad Dog DeCipio, joined by AJ Witcher and Amelia. God help us all. Amelia, the Pitbull Chapman. Okay. As we close out yet another great show and another great week, we will be joined. Oh, who's joining us here? Hello there. Sorry for bothering you. I want to offer.
Promotion to the channel.
Yeah, block them, please.
Let's see.
Okay, please block them. We got somebody here. They're done. Goodbye. Get them off of here.
How do you do that? Can you do that? I think you can do it on your end.
My screen. Hold on. All right, just leave it there, and I'll block them.
You can block it, I think, on your end.
Yeah, they're on Facebook. Okay.
Actually, Twitch, actually.
Oh, they're on Twitch?
Yes.
They are on Twitch. Oh, that's okay, because we're going off the air now anyway. Uh-huh. Mill, let me tell you, I would usually say, Milia, what's coming up next week? Well, I want to tell you what's coming up next week.
Yes.
Next week, show number 4, 5, and 6, to finish up our serial killers. Wait a minute. This is, we're going to save the best for last. You ready? I've got Jack the Ripper next week. Show number four, Monday, Jack the Ripper. Show number five, H.H. Holmes. And we're going to do a two-in-one show. Listen to this. We got H.H. Holmes and the BTK Killer in the same show.
Whoa.
And next Wednesday, the granddaddy of all serial killers. We are doing a show called The Charles Manson Legacy.
Oof.
That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a good show. Next week, the legacy of Charles Manson and the Manson family. A remarkable story of twisted depravity. How to become a cult leader. If you want to know, just follow the Manson playbook. God help us all.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to need God on this one.
Amelia, what other shows we have coming up in the future?
Well, you're going to actually have on May 6th, you're going to have a busy day that day.
I got a busy day May 6th. I have not only escaped from Alcatraz at night, I've got a 10 a.m. show I'm going to tell everybody about. It's Rita Gigante is a psychic and medium. She is a teacher. She is a healer. She says that she's a healer. We'll find out how much she can heal. But she also happens to be the daughter of a former New York mafia godfather, Vincent the Chin Gigante.
Yeah. It's
going to be a very interesting show. She's a very interesting, charismatic lady. Very soft-spoken, though. She's a very quiet woman. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to talk to Rita. Been trying to get her on here for like a month, almost a month and a half now. Finally, her schedule is where we can get her. I want to tell everybody I got some great news today. I spoke to, everybody remembers Kevin Sorbo. He played Hercules on television. I talked to Kevin on the phone today, and Kevin Sorbo will be a guest on our show. Yes, that Kevin Sorbo, actor, movie star, TV star. We're going to have him here. We've had a lot of movie stars here.
Oh, yeah.
We've had Mad Dog.
They like coming here.
Mad Dog, before we go off there, remind everybody about the premium content for the subscriptions.
Well, no, that's your job. That's what you're here for.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Because you're a great salesman. You're a great pitchman. And that's your gig.
So, everybody, if you want the premium content where you can go and have Q&A with the big stars, we're talking people like Ric Flair, probably George Clooney at some time, like the really big top-notch stars, it's only $2.99 for a subscription, and that is one time a month. Pay for it, come in, and you get everything that nobody else can get. So
it's cheaper than a loaf of bread. You can't buy a loaf of bread for $3.
You can't, not anymore.
We're talking about people like Bruce Valanche, Ronnie Marmo. We're talking about people like Mary Murphy, Mark Sotkin from the Golden Girls. We're talking about amazing writers, authors, actors, singers, dancers, comedians, you name
it. A lot of perks, everybody.
There's a lot of perks there. Listen to my guy, AJ, here. AJ Witcher. They call him Witcher for a reason because he's Witcher, baby.
Yep.
AJ's Witcher.
Join the fun. You know, come in, ask some questions, and have that connection with these people that are willing to take time to just come and chat and answer all your questions.
Somebody asked me, what's AJ's middle initials? It's I.M. Its name is AJ. I am with you. Yes, absolutely. And that's thank you, AJ, for that. And remember something, folks. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we will be bringing you a Thursday show for sure. Maybe a Friday, maybe not. We lost one of our co-hosts tonight. And he will no longer be joining us. But AJ is still here, and it's going to be just the four of us. You know, see, you got us chickens here. You got, you know, AJ, you got the Mac Daddy. You know, I am the big Mac Daddy, by the way. I'm the real Mac Daddy. The Mad Dog. And you got Amelia joining you. We're here. No, everybody else. Nobody else matters, really. It's just the three of us. Three's a good, you know what? We got a good team here. We got a good three-man team going here. This is a great, like they say in wrestling, a three-man booth, right? Yep. AJ, is that
but it's not a three-man because we got Amelia over here.
Oh, it's a two-man and two-man. A girl.
Yep. And that way you could hear and see what Mad Dog pick on me sometimes.
Pick on you? I defend you. You
I know
me?
He does. He does defend me.
I defend you. Then I gotta hear. I get picked on between you and Anita. I get beat up all night.
I just have to go back in my cubby and hide.
And then I get beat up by Anita after the show.
I gotta go back in my cubby where he doesn't know I hide to get on the show.
And then my wife says, "Why be nice to that girl? Why you know?" It's like, oh, here he is, Leon.
Person, there you go.
He waits till the last minute to come on. Where the hell were you the rest of the show, Leon?
You missed a great show.
Oh, man. I love Leon, but your timing sucks tonight, bro.
I can't tell you my hiding place, so I'll go back
in. Right? Well, listen, we got to go. It's right up there. We're right on time. Look, I'll tell you what, this was a fast hour tonight.
It was.
For AJ, I am with you. For Amelia, the Pitbull Chapman, I am Angelo, the Mad Dog DeCipio. Join us every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on every podcast platform you can find. We're everywhere, folks. This is America's Best Podcast. What's the Buzz? Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, folks. Bye-bye.